Heavenly Father, as we open your word together this morning, we come to a very special passage that Jesus spoke on the last night before the crucifixion. And we pray that you would help each and every one of us to tune the ears of our heart to what you, through the Holy Spirit, would say to us this morning. Anoint this message as you see fit to each and every one of us as we have need. We pray this in Jesus' precious name. Amen. Well, did you do your homework? Time to take up the homework. 2 weeks ago, and you've forgotten all about the fact that you had homework. So you can cram. That's okay. So if you have your Bible with you, in John chapter 15, we're only dealing with the first five verses of that chapter, and we'll be reading that together in a few moments. But you were to just kind of read this chapter, or part of this chapter, and think about what Jesus meant in this passage. The passage begins with Jesus saying to his disciples, "I am the true vine, and my Father is the gardener." We're reminded that in other places, Jesus also said of himself, "I am the bread of life. He who comes to me will never go hungry. I am the light of the world." He said before Abraham was born, "I am." "I am the gate. I am the good shepherd. I am the resurrection and the life. I am the way, the truth, and the life." When Jesus said to his disciples, "I am the vine, you are the branches," it was the night before his crucifixion. He and his disciples had left the upper room where Jesus had taken the bread. He gave thanks and he broke it. He gave it to them and he said, "This is my body given for you. This do in remembrance of me." He had also taken the cup and said, "This cup is the new covenant in my blood, which is poured out for you." And then, as in the darkness, they made their way to the Garden of Gethsemane, and he's walking along with his disciples. Jesus knew full well what was approaching. He knew that this would be his last moments with them before his arrest and subsequent trial and crucifixion. He had much to tell them. So what Jesus said in these moments was of great importance. Everything that he said was. But these take on extra significance. Jesus said, I'm just going to touch on some of the highlights of what he said to them as they walked along. "Do not let your hearts be troubled. Trust in God. Trust also in me. In my Father's house are many mansions. If it were not so, I would have told you. I'm going there to prepare a place for you." Later in that same chapter of John 14, he said, "I am the way, the truth, and the life. No one comes to the Father except through me." Down a few verses later, he said, "Don't you believe that I'm in the Father and that the Father is in me? The words I say to you are not just my own. Rather, it is the Father living in me who is doing his work." Hang on to that phrase. It is the Father living in me who is doing his work. "Believe me when I say that I am in the Father and the Father is in me. If you love me," Jesus said. If you're following along in your Bible, skip down to verse 15. "If you love me, you will obey what I command. And I will ask the Father, and he will give you another counselor to be with you forever, the Spirit of Truth." And then to verses 23 and 24. Jesus said, "If anyone loves me, he will obey my teaching. My Father will love him, and we will come to him and make our home with him. He who does not love me will not obey my teaching. These words you hear are not my own. They belong to the Father who sent me." And now, very likely, they had crossed through the gate into the Garden of Gethsemane. when Jesus said, and I invite you to read with me in unison, I am the true vine, and my Father is the gardener. He cuts off every branch in me that bears no fruit, while every branch that does bear fruit, he prunes so that it will be even more fruitful. You are already clean because of the word I have spoken to you. Remain in me, and I will remain in you. No branch can bear fruit by itself. It must remain in the vine. Neither can you bear fruit unless you remain in me. I am the vine, you are the branches. If a man remains in me and I in him, he will bear much fruit. Apart from me, you can do nothing. This passage could be the foundation of many messages. And as I sat thinking about this passage, I could think of probably about an 8-week series right out of John 15. That's not going to happen, okay? This morning, I want to look at this passage and what Jesus meant by using this metaphor of the vine and the branches within the context of the study that we have undertaken every other week, if you will. It seems to be that way right now. That of, you know, the power of the resurrection living in me. You know, like, what does that mean to me each and every day? What does it mean to have his life in us? As Jesus said, it's my Father living in me who is doing his work. Now it's the Holy Spirit living in us. Really, it's Christ. It's the Holy Spirit that causes him to be alive within us. Okay, and he's living his life in us. Okay, and he's doing his work in us and through us. What does that mean? How do we really kind of wrap our heads around all of that? What do you think Jesus meant when he said, I am the vine, you are the branches? What does that mean to you? We use from time to time the chorus, it's no longer I that liveth, but Christ that liveth in me, okay? To express this, what it means, you know, as a Christian. If you're a Christian, Christ is in you, okay? But understanding this concept and putting into practice its truth can, you know, sometimes it's hard to wrap our head around that, and I want to be very careful to make sure we understand it. But putting into practice this concept of Christ alive in me is foundational to living in victory as a Christian and allowing Christ to live through us. Have you ever struggled with temptation? I can see it all over the place. And if you're going like this, you know, maybe not being quite as transparently honest as you should be. Certainly we do, you know. That's Satan's job. Satan's just doing his job when you're tempted, okay? You don't have to say yes. But that's one of the works that Satan has. Don't blame him. It's his job. Okay? Well, blame him, right? And say, get behind me. Have you ever struggled with guilt that you just can't seem to overcome? I would proffer that Satan is trying to keep you down. Because if you are a Christian and you have brought that sin to the Lord, it's under the blood, and it's been removed from you as far as the east is from the west. And if you can figure out how far that is, let me know, because no scientist can. Okay? That's how far it's been removed from you. So, excuse me for my little farmer colloquialism here. Just kick Satan in the butt. You know? Or how about character flaws? Or struggled sometimes with your faith? Sure you have. We all go through questions from time to time. If Jesus really does live in me, how come I so often feel no one's at home? You know?
If I'm supposed to be dead to sin, how come I feel so trapped within it sometimes, with temptation or recurring sin, whatever the issue may be? If I am his child and he is in me, how come I struggle with my self-identity and who I am or who I really am? Or how come this baggage from years ago is still with me and I just can't seem to get rid of it? Or maybe the question is, does God really have a purpose for me? And if so, what is it? You know, those are all questions that resonate with us at some level or another in our lives. Remember my missionary friend I told you of in the last message? He had missed the boat when it came to this young man, Musa. Musa had been our Muslim gardener in Nigeria. Today, he's a Christian pastor and evangelist. But that missionary he didn't almost miss the boat. He totally missed the boat when it came to this young man. This same missionary that I referred to messed up his life, as I remind you, so much so that he had to leave the field. His whole life was missions. His children had been raised on the mission field. He had gone out there as a young man. And now, his children, I had taught them in high school, graduated and off to university in the States. One of them, by the way, was so bright that by the time he was in his second year in university back here, he was granted a full paid scholarship to Yale or Harvard, full doctorate all the way through, at no cost to him. He just had to choose whether it was going to be Yale or Harvard. Okay? Yeah. But his whole life in missions was over. So what was the issue with my friend? Here you have a Christian, but he has messed up so badly. Why? That was a question that he faced as he tried to understand what went wrong at a deeper level in his life, not just the surface manifestations. What went wrong? At a simplistic level, he really got caught up in himself. There was a deeper issue to that I won't go into this morning. But he really got caught up with himself. He became the issue. He got caught up in the desires of his own flesh, and those things became dominant in his life instead of the Spirit of the living God. He was living according to his own humanness, not giving room for the Spirit of God to speak to him and so that he could listen to him and say, here's what needs to go in my life and here's what I should or should not be doing. When we try to live the Christian life in our own strength, apart from me, you can do nothing, Jesus said, we begin to follow the dictates of our sinful nature. We fail. Romans chapter 8, verse 5 reads, and I invite you to join me in unison, those who live according to the sinful nature have their minds set on what that nature desires, but those who live in accordance with the Spirit have their minds set on what the Spirit desires. There's a profound difference. And let me submit to you that what the Holy Spirit desires in our lives will never be sin. Ever. It just, as I say those words, I'm remembering one time my friend that I started out in the ministry with, George Peck, just celebrated his 90th birthday with a few weeks ago. When he was at another church, we had both moved on to senior pastorates. He went to Markham and we went to Port Hope. And while he was in Markham, this couple in the church came and sat down with him to talk to him about finding the Lord's will in their life. They were really praying about it. He was wanting to be with another woman, and she was wanting to be with another man. It's just, pastor, can you help us figure out if this is what God wants? He says, I know what God wants. He says it right here. You're wrong. Get with it. God will never, ever cause that to be the case in your life. Okay? So, you know, some things, well, anyway. The Holy Spirit, I think that makes the point. The Holy Spirit's desire in your life will never be to cause you to sin. Amen? The Holy Spirit will never go against God's revealed will. Amen? Amen. Jesus said, I am the vine, you are the branches. If a man remains in me and I in him, he will bear much fruit. Apart from me, you can do nothing. David Tryon describes this, you know, kind of captures the essence of the message in this paragraph. Let me read it for you. There are many Christians struggling to live the Christian life who have never discovered where the strength to live that life is to be found. There are many earnest believers, young and old, who are continually being disappointed and cast down because they're finding their own resources inadequate to meet the demands of real Christian living. There are hundreds of Christians of all ages who are hungering and thirsting after a fuller, deeper life than that which they now experience. See, you can live the Christian life either by your own strength and your own efforts or by His strength. It's the Father living in me who is doing His work, Jesus said. We live either by the power of our own strength or by the power of the Spirit of the living God. One brings emptiness, the other brings joy and fulfillment and fruit. It is at this point I submit to you that too many Christians miss the boat and fail to grasp the significance of what it means to really have the resurrected, living today, Lord Jesus Christ in His person, living and dwelling inside, and how that impacts our lives every single day, or how it should impact our lives. It affects how you tip the waitress. It affects your demeanor when you're filling up your gas, your car, filling up your gas, filling up your car with gas, and you go in to pay, and how you treat that person. It affects how you treat every person who's in front of you, because the living Lord Jesus Christ is in you and wanting to manifest Himself through you. It affects everything in your life. The reason why God's work in our lives is so often held back or thwarted or doesn't even get off the ground is we don't really grasp what this concept, this truth, it's a spiritual truth, is really all about. The point that Jesus was making in this metaphor of the vine and the branches is that all of the resources of the Christian life are in Christ. And in Him alone. And He lives in us through the person of the Holy Spirit. The resources that we need and the strength that we need are there. And we can rely on Him. And out of this passage, this metaphor of the vine and the branches, I find there two prerequisites for the branch to live. Two conditions that have to be met in order for that branch to live and to be fruitful. The first one is, of course, it has to be connected to the vine. You know, it does. In Romans chapter 11, and you can just jot that reference down and read it on your own leisure. In Romans chapter 11, the Apostle Paul is teaching there that God in Christ grafts us into Himself. We have been removed from the wild root and engrafted into the root that is holy, meaning the person of Christ. It is a picture of what happens when we come to faith in Christ. Just as a branch can be taken from one tree and grafted into another, Christ removes us from the old tree of our fallen nature and grafts us into himself, so that we are connected to him, and he is the source of true spiritual life. I am the true vine, Jesus said. That's the first condition. We must be connected to him. In to bring that metaphor back to another terminology, that's when we receive Christ as our Savior. We're connected to him. We're engrafted into Christ. The second condition is that we must receive, the branch must receive its nurture and strength or power from the vine itself. When your blood pressure is measured and air is pumped into that pressure cuff, do you like that feeling? You know, you think, oh, I'm glad this is only going to last for a minute or whatever, because it cuts off the blood supply to your arm. And that pressure comes up, and there you are. And remember the feeling? Remember what it feels like when that pressure is released and the blood flow is restored? I can almost hear you audibly going, ah, you know, because you feel that flow of life-giving blood rushing into your arm again, okay? The source of life flow is restored. The same is true in a spiritual sense. Where is the source of life-giving power to the branch? It's in the vine. It's in the vine. The branch has no ability to keep itself alive outside of the vine. Without me, you can do nothing. Cut a branch off a tree, and what happens? It dies. In the spring, if you drill a hole in a maple tree, what do you get? Sap. Hopefully, lots of it. Some years more than others, but we won't go there. But that's where the life-giving flow for the branch comes from. Where is our source? Actually, I should say, who is your source? Jesus identifies himself as that in this passage. He says, I am the vine. I'm the source. You're the branches. That's the metaphor. It is Christ in you. Galatians chapter 2, verse 20. Let's read this verse. I have been crucified with Christ, and I no longer live, but Christ lives in me. The life I live in the body, I live by faith in the Son of God who loved me and gave himself for me. Now, I have a question for you. Don't think too scientifically about the answer this requires. How does the branch receive from the vine? How does the branch receive from the vine? You don't need to know about capillary action and all of that kind of stuff. In a word, naturally. Just the way it's supposed to. As long as it's connected. As long as it's connected. God built within, right? Nature. The branch doesn't have to do anything except live the way it was designed to live, attached to the vine. You know, the same is true with us. We're attached to Christ. Every resource that we need is there. But there is a little difference between the branch and us. The branch doesn't have a tap. You do. I do. We have a tap that we turn on and we turn off. We can choke off the supply like that blood pressure cuff did. Or in structural chiropractics, you know, if your spine deteriorates. They all do over time, right? But over time, if a certain degeneration sets in on the spinal column and misalignments occur and cause the spinal cord to become constricted and only allow a partial signal flow through to your vital organs, it results in a growing number of health issues because it's choking off the power, the signal, so that that organ knows what to do and how to receive its nurture and et cetera and et cetera and et cetera. Okay? And structural chiropractics does its best to restore that. It's not an advertisement for a chiropractor, by the way. It's just the way we're made. Your assignment in reading John 15 was to try and identify the one key thing that makes all the difference in our spiritual life, that unlocks the door, so to speak, to living in the reality of Christ in us. Okay? Think about the tap. Think about the spinal column choking off that life-giving signals to your vital organs. The secret is turning the tap on full. The secret is spiritual chiropractics. Okay, that get your spiritual spine straightened out so the power flows in the right way. What's the secret to that? Jesus, in this very chapter, told us how to keep the tap turned on full. Here it is, John 15, 9 and 10. Let's read in unison. As the Father has loved me, so have I loved you. Now remain in my love. If you obey my commands, you will remain in my love, just as I have obeyed my Father's command and remain in his love. Did you see that word? If. Beginning of the second sentence. If. That's a conditional word. It means if you do this, then this will happen. If you don't, it won't. So the key to keeping the tap on full is to obey God and to obey the Lord. When we don't, what happens is we grieve the Holy Spirit, and that chokes off the supply because it quenches his work and it shuts off his ability to do his work in our lives. He's still able to do it. You're just not letting him. You're choking off the supply. See, it all comes back to the free will that he gave us. We can choose to turn the tap on or off. What grieves the Holy Spirit? Sin in our lives. Sin in our lives, and not living in obedience to him. At the core of our experiencing the power of his resurrection in our lives and living in vibrant union with him is to love him and to walk with him and to say, whatever you show me, Lord, I will do. I trust you. Amen? To walk with him every day. And when you mess up, which we do, right? I do too. I want you to know. Because if I don't let you know, my wife might. I'm just teasing. Because I do. And you have to take a moment. Say, Lord, I'm sorry I shut the tap off right there. Forgive me. I'm turning it back on, right? You can use that metaphor. To love him and to desire to live for him is to become fruitful in our lives. That's the real purpose of the branch. What did Jesus mean by fruit? Well, that's a whole nother study. And you may have some preconceived notions about that, And those notions may be correct or maybe not quite so, all right? But or may not include all of what Jesus meant, but that's another study. That's not a part of this study. Maybe we'll take up again sometime. But here's my challenge for you out of this message and out of this passage. My challenge for you this week is to ask the Lord if there's anything in your life that's choking off his working presence in your life. You say, wow, I'm not sure I want to do that. I might just learn some things that I don't want to know about. Well, I promise you, take the plunge, do it anyway, because the end result, you'll look back and you go, why didn't I do that sooner? You know, because a burden will be lifted, and I'm telling you, you will never regret asking the Lord to help you to deal with those choke-off points in your life, those things in your life that might be hindering him from having his way in your life and choking off his working presence. John 15, chapter 2, we read those verses earlier, and they're very serious verses. Let me remind you of them. He cuts off every branch in me that bears no fruit, while every branch that does bear fruit he prunes, so that it will be even more fruitful. You are already clean because of the word I have spoken to you. This is Jesus speaking to his disciples. So this is Jesus speaking to you and to me as a believer. You are clean because of the word I have spoken to you. That word in the original literally means pruning. You have, to put it into a modern vernacular, we might say, you know what? I've already pruned your heart at salvation. But it doesn't mean there isn't some ongoing pruning that needs to be done. And maybe there are some branches in our lives that need to be pruned. Maybe there are some choke points that need to be dealt with. And I promise you that if you deal with the choke points, almost choked on that word, if you deal with the choke points, it's like turning the tap on, okay? And so the question is some pruning needed? If it is, don't be afraid of it. It might hurt for a moment, just while the shears are there taking their nip. But the end result, as I've said a few moments ago, you will never regret. Amen? Let's pray. Father in heaven, we bow before you this morning. And we wonder at the magnitude of your love to us, that you would care so much about us, that it's not just about our salvation that you care about and preparing a place in heaven. And that's all good and that's great and we're in awe of that. But you know so much about us that you want us to live a joyful, victorious Christian life each and every day, because you know what great joy that brings to us and brings to your own heart. And so may we, your people, bow before you in all integrity and open our hearts to you. Say, Lord, if there are choke points in our life, we want to deal with that. Would you be our instructor as we think about this, not just today, but ongoing in our lives? We lay ourselves before you. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.